Amen. Thank you, worship team. All I have is Christ. What a great song. Is that enough? Yeah, that's enough for a couple of you. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, man, we have Christ. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you know the difference that that makes in your life. And you also become more and more aware of how crazy this world is that doesn't have Jesus, right? Can you think of some people who don't know Christ and how different life is for them? How crazy it is for them? I was thinking about a guy in our town. I was talking with him a couple of years ago, and he was telling me, like, yeah, this guy doesn't have Christ. And he was telling me, like, yeah, my neighbor drives me nuts. He was making me real mad. He lets his dog come out, and his dog comes over and poops in my yard. It really ticks me off. I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds like a real problem. What did you do about that? He goes, well, I figured it all out. I'd just sneak out there at night when he wasn't looking, and I picked it all up. I would just pick it up each night. And I'm like, oh, that's really great. He goes, so I've been collecting it for a year in buckets in my garage. I'm like, what? And he says, and it was really great because one day he really ticked me off. So that night, all the buckets got dumped on his front porch. I'm like, okay. And he felt great about this. I'm going, okay, can we think about this for a minute? I'm just wondering if maybe there might have been a better way. None had dawned on him. That was it. That was it. That's all he had. You know, the only way is, you know, you kind of defend your own territory and fight with your neighbor. And then here we are looking into the Word of God to see, I think there's a different way. I think maybe we do something else, even when it's hard. As I talk about bless your neighbor today, it'll be easy to think about the neighbor that you like or the one down the street who's nice. But I want you to also have space in there for that one that's really hard, for the one that you don't want to bless. Because Jesus said, or it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. We repay all kinds of things with blessing. We are here to love our neighbor and to bless our neighbor. Let's just pray over this idea as we get started today. We'll look at a couple different passages of Scripture, but mainly want to convey this concept to get us started on a new series today. Father, thank you for seeing us. We were not good neighbors. We were lost. We were sinners, offensive to you and your holiness. And yet you came for us, you came to us, you moved toward us so that you could take hold of us and rescue us and cleanse us. And we are so thankful for all that you have done and continue to do for us. Lord, you bless us. As we learn about this bless idea today, would you just open our minds to what you might want to do through us? Help us, Lord, to be used by you to further your kingdom and your will in this earth. And we just pause, Lord, and acknowledge you, your presence here, your will in this, your plan, and your desire for us. Help us, Lord, to stay inside of your will and your thoughts for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are what you would call an evangelical church. Did you know that? Antioch Community Church is an evangelical church. What does that mean? Think about that for a second. What does that mean to be an evangelical church? It's one of these terms, like a lot of terms, where, well, I think it means this, but someone else says it means that. And it can get kind of pushed and pulled around. There's a lot of words like that, especially more in our today and the way words are used. Evangelical, some would say that represents a right-wing voting bloc. Is that right? The evangelical vote Is that what it means? Is that what we mean when we say we're an evangelical church? It's not what I mean. That's kind of gross. I want to go take a shower after people talk about that stuff. That's gross. I don't want to be involved in that. We're not a voting block. We probably represent all different positions on that. I don't really care about that stuff. God is big and strong, and he can manage the world without my help, right? So I'll let God take care of those things. That's not what we mean when we say we're evangelical. Some would say evangelical means people who are soft in their beliefs, as opposed to the good old fundamentalists of old, who had hardline beliefs on stuff. Well, that's not what we mean either. We are solidly convinced of our beliefs and our doctrines about who God is, what God's word is, what Jesus has done for us, and then we express grace over the differences that we have, and we're cool with that. So what does evangelical mean? It's a word that comes from the language the Bible was written in the Greek language, and the word evangelical is sometimes translated gospel. If you're familiar with that word, gospel, which means, what does gospel mean? Good news. It means good news. And so evangel is the word that we get the word angel from. What is an angel? A messenger. Exactly. So it's evangelical means we are, it's the message of good news. We are messengers of good news. So if I say the word evangelical, it means we're messengers of good news. How many, you like that? Is that a working definition for us? We're messengers of good news. That's who we are. That's what we do. So can you think of a neighbor or a coworker who, if you think about your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, would they think about you and describe you as, oh, that person is a messenger of good news? The people I work with, when I walk in the room, they're thinking, oh, here he comes. He's a messenger of good news. They might think other things. I don't know. I mean, you can think of other things for your coworkers, like, oh, there's a negative Nancy, or there's the person who's always got the contrary view to everything, or that's the person who's just always complaining. You know, I hope that's not you. I hope that in some way, as we grow up in Christ, that we become perceived by other people as bearers and messengers of good news. And what is that good news? Jesus is that good news, exactly. You know, God created us for fellowship with him. He created us to be family with him. He created us to live within his joy. And yet sin came into this world. We inherited it from our parents. We've proved that we inherited it every day since in the way that we live. And sin ruins all that. It's changed us. It changed us from children of God. Now we're born alienated from God. It changed us into something else that's offensive to God's holiness. It put us out. And Jesus came to change us back, to transform us into family of God. Jesus came to rescue us from sin. And so when we see Jesus on the cross and dying on the cross, and we're like, wait, Jesus was innocent. He didn't deserve that. He was dying in our place. He was offering himself for us so that our sins could be paid for right there when we trust in him. And we could be cleansed and forgiven. We could experience freedom from that which separated us from God. We can experience restoration into God's family. And that's the good news. How many of you earned that or really deserve it more than your neighbor? No way. This was a gift from God, which means when God sees your neighbor, your coworker, your non-Christian friends, he has the same heart of longing and compassion for them that he had for you, that brought you and I into his family. He's looking for that same thing to be there for them. And so when Jesus left this earth, he gave this commission to his disciples that they would go and carry the good news to the rest of the world, that they would be people of good news, messengers of good news to the people around us who need it. And Jesus has called all the world to himself. And so here we are today in late April 2024 talking about evangelism. And that can sometimes feel a little bit intimidating or a little bit scary. Oh, evangelism, I don't know. Maybe someone else is good at evangelism. They have a more outgoing personality, or they're just bubbly by nature, whatever. I'm scared. I'm nervous about it. Evangelism is the act of messaging good news, sharing good news. It's just being who we are. People who've received the good news from Christ and sharing it with them. But we psych ourselves out pretty easily when it comes to actually bringing the message of good news to people. At least I do. Can anybody relate to that? You kind of psych yourself out or start coming up with reasons not to mention Jesus, right? And you're all just kind of like, I kind of do. There's like a lot of little hands right there. going, yeah, I do, but I don't want to admit it. We struggle with that. Like, we get our fears come into play. Like, I'm afraid someone will laugh at me. I'm afraid someone will be rejected. Have you ever been laughed at or rejected or sent away or something negative because you mentioned Jesus or your faith? Few of you have. Anybody else ever been escorted off a college campus before? Sometimes that stuff happens. Sometimes it happens. But I think we have this idea in mind that evangelism is like confrontational, or that it's someone doesn't want me to tell them what to think. Well, that's probably true. But what if evangelism was different than that? What if evangelism and just blessing your neighbor weren't different things? But what if they were part of the same thing? What if telling someone about Jesus was just part of loving your neighbor really, really well? If you could bless someone without the pressure of having to download the whole gospel message every single time, you know, in order to consider it evangelism. I had training in this old program called Evangelism Explosion at a church a long time ago. And in that, you learned a gospel presentation. It was about 30 minutes to present it. And then you learn, I mean, you had to do it all the right way or you weren't doing evangelism was the key point. Like, you go to someone's home after they visited the church, you knock, you get access to their living room, you have to get them to somehow turn off the TV, and then have a few opening questions that, like, get you into that conversation, and then you give this 30-minute pitch and see if they're ready to give their life to Jesus. If you didn't do all those parts right, you weren't doing evangelism. Like, oh my gosh, I felt like carrying such a heavy weight. But it's like, hey, I learned good things in that. But what if it's more just about loving our neighbors and blessing them and bringing Jesus to the people around us? Let's take a quick look back at a guy in the Old Testament named Abram in Genesis chapter 12. Just going to hop through a couple of different texts. In Genesis 12, Abram, his name was later changed to Abraham. You've probably heard of that. And Abram was first, he met the Lord. And in verses 1, 2, and 3, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. He gave him this command to go. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So he really gives them one direct command, and that was to go. Like, you actually have to get up and take a step in that direction, Abram. That's the first thing you have to do, or nothing else will come to play. Get up and go. You have to take a step in the direction I'm calling you. And then the second is kind of more an implied command to bless the world. Like, you're going to be a blessing as you follow me and I'm blessing you and you're going. The places you go will be blessed. My blessing will go right through you to other people. Go and bless. I love the simplicity of that because I think it's really true for us today as well, that we are people who are called to go and to bless. We can't hide and bless. I kind of wish we could because some days I just like to hide. We have to actually take a step toward other people. And as we do, we just carry the blessing of God. We just naturally love them, bless them, and let's see what God would do with that. God wants to bless the world. He wants to redeem the world. He didn't create this world so he could sit back and fold his arms and say, look at those dumb people. They're messing it all up. Shaking his head. But yet I see Christians with their arms folded, shaking their head, going, these dumb people are messing up the world. Like, I don't think that's what God did. I don't think that's not the flow that's coming from God. God is saying, the heart of compassion for the world, how can we step toward them so we can bless them and eventually redeem them? That's God's heart, and he's calling us to do that as well. And we try to do that in a number of ways. We see where there are people in Asia who need the blessing of God, and they need help. So we support a couple of different missionaries in Asia. You can come Friday night and hear more about that. Watch the movie that's there to help us learn more about ministry to help rescue and bless people in Asia. Every week, we transform that lobby into a grocery store because there's people here that need to be blessed through food, and we talk with them, and we invite them to church, and we build relationships right there because we believe as God has blessed us, we're here to bless and share the good news of Jesus. That's one way to do it. We have kids' ministries over here because these kids need to be the blessing of God through us that will lead them to Jesus and help them experience life in Christ. So there are a lot of ways that we want to do that, continue to do it, and learn more about doing it. So we're going to introduce the word bless as an acronym today. It's an acronym. If you have your printed notes, it's listed in there as well, and up on the screen as well, that the word bless, we're going to look at one of these for each of the next 5 weeks. The first one is to begin with prayer, and we'll talk about that today, beginning with prayer. And then listen with care, eat together. That one's fun. I really like that one a lot. Serve with love and share your story. When I say bless your neighbor, that's what I mean. Walking through this pathway that begins with God moves us toward and eventually allows us to begin to have dialogue around how we trust Christ with our life. So let's begin with prayer. Let's talk about prayer. Why do you think evangelism or movement toward your neighbor or your coworkers or your friends, why does that begin with prayer? We could just go tell our neighbors about Jesus. But what's important about beginning with prayer? I'm going to get a drink while you think about that. God's sorry. God's dependence on God. Because it depends on God. Good, yeah.
We want to hear from Jesus.
Okay, so we want them to hear from Jesus, not just from Gabe. Good. Okay, good. It aligns our heart with Jesus' heart for our neighbors. So there's something in it that I need as well. Good.
To invite.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why prayer becomes important before we talk to our neighbors. I mean, if someone is going to respond to God, it's not a human response of the will. It's an invitation from God that God empowers and God enables us to do anyways. This is a work of God from beginning to end. So we begin by praying for people. In the mornings at my house, Kimberly makes coffee, for which I'm very thankful. I love it very much. It's an important part of my day. And I imagined her trying to make coffee without the coffee pot being plugged in. It just probably wouldn't work very well. And the things that we can do, it's not hard to go talk to our neighbors or to be kind to our neighbors. But if we do this without prayer, the power is gone behind it. It's not going to produce what we want to have happen. We want our neighbors to know Jesus. We want our coworkers to know Jesus. And it's important that we begin with prayer because that's our direct access to God, whose idea this is. It's our direct access to God who created this pathway of salvation. It's our direct access to God who actually can take out hearts of stone and replace them with hearts of flesh and give us his spirit. I mean, this is all a work of God. And so we want to talk to the Father who's at work doing this work as we get going with it. Plus, we looked last year at the example of Jesus who began with prayer. Do you remember before he started his public ministry? How many days did he set aside of concentrated prayer? 40 days of just like, I'm just going to pray. Our entire Blessed series is not going to be 40 days long. And it's half hour every Sunday. We're going to talk about this. Jesus was like, I'm going to set aside all of 40 days. I'm not even going to eat just to focus on prayer before I begin to take that step toward the world that needed Jesus and that needed the gospel, the good news. So for us, how important is it that we would say before I, you know, if I'm going to move in a direction of blessing my neighbor, I need to start with prayer. Like really start with prayer and actually get serious about this. At the very end of Jesus' ministry, we also see him praying for us still. Like the last night, as he was right before he was arrested and taken and led to the cross, in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for us. It says in John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the entire world. I'm praying for those you have given me, for they are yours. Even Jesus is like, the whole world, you know, people are going to make their choices, but God, you have certain people in mind you're leading me toward that you're working on right now, and I'm praying for them. That they would hear your voice and respond to you. In verse 13 of John 17, Jesus said, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in this world so that they might have the full measure of joy within them. Think about that. As Jesus is praying for people who need salvation, he's praying for their joy. I hadn't thought about that very much before. I used to think, well, that just means as Christians we should be joyful people. But I began incorporating joy into my prayer request for lost people a couple years ago, and I found it to be transformative for me because I would have someone who I'm praying for, even someone like, this person is a mess. I don't know if they'll get saved. But what it did is it began to allow me to imagine, and I could begin to imagine how cool would it be if that person experienced forgiveness for the first time in their life? How cool would it be if that person experienced the joy of new life in Christ? Man, they would be changed. They wouldn't be the person that I have a hard time liking. They'd be a different person. How cool would it be if that person were received God's life and wanted to bless other people instead of be a jerk toward them all? I mean, even the people that are hard to pray for, when I begin to pray for their joy, it changed something in me. It brought a whole new life to it. I think that's what Jesus is doing, and he's praying that we would receive joy, that the people in this world who are yet to know Jesus would get to this place where they have the fruit of joy in their life. Try praying that for people. It'll change your mind and your perspective for them. And then finally, Jesus said, as you sent me
into this world, I have sent them into this world. You've already been prayed for by Jesus to be sent into this world. So if you're wondering, like, should I actually go, like, do I really take the gospel to my neighbors? Yeah, you've already been commissioned to do that. That's done. Jesus is like, I was sent in this world, and I've sent you. And by the way, he also said, I've sent the Holy Spirit with you. So you're not going alone. But we've been sent on this important and joyful task of praying for our neighbors, friends, and coworkers. So I'm going to get a little bit more specific with you before we finish today. I'm going to help you get a little bit more specific in your own heart and life. Who's the first person you should pray for in terms of blessing your neighbor? Yourself. Yeah. Pray for yourself, and I'll pray for me, that God that I would really be living in the blessing of God, in the joy of the Lord, and that God would change my heart. But secondly, then, I want you to begin the practice of really praying and commit for the next 5 weeks, really praying for people by name, specific people inside of your life, inside of your circles of connection, praying for specific people by name to see if God would use you and bring the good news of Jesus to them. Inside your notes, in your handout, is a Frank list. Frank stands for friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and coworkers. So take a look at that. Take that sheet out if you have it. And I put some blank lines in there for you. Those blank lines are for you to write in some names. Just a first name will do. But write in the first name of somebody who is in each of those circles. Write the first name of a friend who doesn't know Jesus. Do you have any friends who don't know Jesus? I've had times in my life when that's a challenge, because I'm like inside church circles all the time. I'm like, I got to meet some people who don't know Jesus. Jesus had friends who didn't know Jesus. He was called the friend of sinners. He intentionally put himself in these places where he could have names of people that he hung out with who needed him yet and hadn't yet turned to him, but he was friends first. So think about a friend and put a name down on that sheet. Think about a relative. Do you have any relatives who don't know Jesus? Probably. If you don't, praise God. If you do, pick one. Say, Lord, who do you want me to be praying for the next few weeks? And write down their name. An acquaintance is maybe the person that cuts your hair. You see a little less often. You don't have that friendship, but you know them by name. A coworker, a classmate. Put a name down on those things and write down the name of a neighbor. So, tough question. Do you know your neighbor's names? Been said, you can't love your neighbor if you don't know their name. And sometimes it's not easy. I'm thinking of one neighbor who comes home from work, pushes a little button in the vehicle that opens the garage door, and then they go in, and they push the button and the garage door closes before they've got out of the car. It's like, well, where's the gap in there that we can say hi? And, you know, and we do know this person, but it's like, it's hard. There's a challenge because they're just indoors all the time. And so finding out a neighbor and their name is important. And get those names written down. Did you write some down while I was talking? Get some of those names written down. And what I said at the beginning really comes true. Don't just write down the names of the one like, oh, I like Steve, or I like Mary. I'm going to put her name down and pray for her because she's really sweet already. And wouldn't it be nice if she knew Jesus? That's fine. But write down Joe's name. He's really hard to love. And see if Jesus would want to transform him. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was awful. He was awful, but Jesus saw him and cared for him and brought him in. There's a lot of people God will bring into the kingdom and the transformation will be great. Jesus said, in Luke 6, even bless those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. So your list should include someone who doesn't like you. And maybe someone that's hard to like. So you can bless them and pray for them. Fill that out. And as you're thinking about that, I just want to remind you of a couple of other texts real quick. A couple of other ideas. One, remember that it's God's gospel. Prayer is important. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God might open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul's got like prayer all saturated throughout his good news messaging plan. As he's thinking about talking, as he's talking, as he's telling people about Jesus, this is a prayer-saturated activity in Paul's life. Remember also to pray for harvesters. I heard on the news yesterday or the day before that because of some immigration law changes in Florida, a lot of people have moved or shifted and they're not there working right now. And so there's fruit harvests. And the fruit is ripe. And there's no one to pick it. And the fruit's going to fall off the tree and the bushes, and it's going to die in the dirt. And your fruit prices in the grocery store are going to go up. Because it's not going to get picked. And that's the image Jesus had in mind when he looked out at this world that we live in. There are people there that are ready. They would give their life to Jesus if they could hear about him in a kind, loving, and non-judgmental way that there's hope in Christ that could transform their life. There's people around me, there's people around you that would be ready to do that. And Jesus is like, would you pray that somebody would show up to talk to them and tell them? Pray for harvesters to go out into this field that's ready for harvest, because if we don't, what happens? They die without knowing Jesus. They move on, or their heart hardens, and that opportunity is passed. So part of our prayer is to pray for harvesters, for good news sharing people, to get busy, to take that step toward a need, so that other people can be blessed and hear about Jesus and go, oh, I didn't know that. Now that I know that, I think I want to step into that. I want to learn more about that. Someone has to have those conversations. A lot of that someone is us. And I'm not responsible for the whole world and everybody else, but God has given me certain people, and I believe he's calling me toward them and you as well. So you take those names on your list. And the other thing I want you to do with those names as we're praying for them is you have a color, different colored cards on your seats. Take the name of one of the people or two or three of the people that are on your list that you're writing. And write it on there. Just the first name. I wrote on here, my neighbor, and I wrote his first name on there. And so you just take that list, and let's turn this thing into a wall of prayer for us. Just come over here and stick it on there. And then as we see that prayer wall, we can be praying for those people. We can do this together. We can pray together for our coworkers and our family members and our neighbors. And we already have one of these in place. It's in the lobby right over there, just past the kitchen. But for 5 weeks, let's fill that board with names. As a way of just reminding us that we need to step into this, God has put people around us that we can begin to bless. All you have to do right now is pray. You don't have to do anything else that's like awkward or hard or anything this week. All you have to do is pray. You're just talking to God about, like, God, who is the person, and would you help this person, and you're just praying. But I want to ask you, would you be willing to start praying for some specific people? I actually want to ask you, are you willing this week to start praying for some specific people around you? Nods are good. Yeah. And then the we question is, are we willing to help each other? Are we willing to pray for the people on that board? So like today, as soon as this service ends, I'd like you to walk over and tack a card to the board. Okay? And get a name, maybe two or three, as many as you want. As long as there are people in one of those circles that you know, put their name on there. And then like the next few weeks, come a few minutes early and just walk over there and just pray for some of these names. Just bring these names before the Lord and pray for them. And ask God, God, what would you have us do? Would you want us to move toward these people? What would that look like? And just begin to hold that before the Lord in prayer. Find other ways to remind yourself to pray too. When my oldest son started school, I made a decision that anytime I drove past a school building, I would pray for my kids in school, for their classmates, for my wife who teaches. I would just pray for the people in that circle. And that was great. It was a really easy reminder that was right there. Find some way to remind you to pray regularly, but this is going to be our corporate way to remember to pray. And we're going to pray for names on that board. So start putting them on there, and we'll start praying for each other and for these names on this board. So I'm gonna close this time in prayer. We're gonna step into this. This is a prayer week, and then we'll move on next week. We'll talk about listening, and then we'll talk about eating, which I think it's a great idea. And we'll see what God does with this as He's just moving us to take that step toward blessing our neighbors. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your incredible love and commitment to us. Lord, would you just use this time in our church family? We're not just here for us. We're here to be used by you to bless our neighbors, our coworkers, and change. We want to see your message of good news land and make an impact and have a great harvest. So, Father, help us as we take a step toward all that. In Jesus' name, amen.